What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind. Oh,
it's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Self-Helpless with Delaney Fisher,
Taylor Tomlinson,
and Kelsey Cook.
And we are comedians with type A personalities who are going to delve into self-help and talk about our love and hate for it.
Yes. Love-hate relationship.
So
love,
stupid. Hate. Constant. So useful.
Mm-hmm. Just horrific, but wonderful.
Yes.
So why don't we start off with our quotables, which I believe... Taylor,
I have got one.
You have
today.
A good quote for us today.
I do. I have a quote, and the quote I have is from a David Rico. He's apparently a therapist.
Okay.
Our wounds are often the openings into the best and most beautiful part of us.
Oh.
That's what she said.
Can you read that one more time? I feel like I have to process this one.
Our wounds are often the openings into the best and most beautiful parts of us.
Interesting.
Sounds a little sexual.
Yeah,
but it's not.
It is. It's just because I have a very visual mind. So wounds, like when I hear opening. The word wound, yes. I just hear something really gross. Like, I mean, I just see it. I picture it right away.
Yeah.
So, but I get what he's getting. I get what he's getting at.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Our pain is what makes us who we are.
Yeah. Makes us relatable and real.
Yeah. It's like if everything goes perfectly in your life, you're probably a fucking shitty person eventually. Like,
so
I mean,
true.
Like you probably suck as a human being to talk to and hang out with because you just don't know how.
Yeah.
That's why hot people suck. You have no empathy.
Yeah.
You don't know what it's like.
You were always hot.
You haven't struggled.
And also, how much does it suck to watch like a documentary about a famous person and then it's just like, they always had something they had to overcome. It's never like, and then Prince was just great from the very first from the very first time anybody heard him sing. He just was Prince immediately.
Yeah.
So you just want, you know, you just want a little bit of struggle to be more interesting. That's what I tell myself anytime something bad happens. I go, I am so much more interesting now.
Yeah.
Yes. That is a great antidote to our perfectionism.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, okay, remember, no one likes somebody who is not human. They want to relate to you. They want to hear you fuck up your words sometimes and trip a little bit and just look like a human.
Right.
This is true. I got to a point like 6 months ago, I could not think of anything to write about comedy wise. I could not think of a new joke.
Yeah.
And I genuinely thought, I need to mess some things up in my life. Things are going too well. I'm doing too well. I need to like blow all my money on something or get a gambling addiction or develop alcoholism. Like I really thought I needed to mess up to be more interesting.
Insane,
And what happened?
What was your muse?
I didn't do any of that. I didn't do any of that at all. Nothing. I got over it. I wrote a new joke. And I think I went for a walk around the Grove or something. And I was like, I can just look at other people. But yeah, you know. Oh, no, I totaled my car shortly after that.
Oh.
And I did a solid 3 minutes about totaling my car for about a month. And then that was all I needed.
There you go.
That, so, yeah. Well, that's something. Do you guys feel like you have to, like something shitty has to happen for you to have material? Is it harder for you to write when things are good?
Sometimes. Mm. Yeah. I'm very prolific when I'm like in a bad relationship or something.
Yeah. Right.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it kind of depends for me. I had to get to a point because now Kane and I have been together for over 5 years. So I was like, well, okay, what is different now? What's changed? What's something I can dig into? And so I dug into more about like passion dying off and kind of
like... You gotta
like,
have some kids.
I know.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Like, that'll really fuck your shit up.
The new
kids
material.
Are a bit machine.
Oh my God. I know. Isn't it sad? Like I'm excited to maybe have one day just for the material.
I know. God, we're monsters.
That's so terrible. Excited. They write it for you. They're so stupid. Yeah. So excited.
Oh, they're dumb heads and faces and fingers. And just, yeah.
Oh yeah. No, I've gone back to relationships that weren't compatible because I was like, I need material. I think on some like on a subconscious level.
Yeah.
It worked. I got a new closer, but you know.
Yeah.
I don't recommend it.
Right.
There
unless
you,
you want to be the best at what you do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should move into the treat yourself segment.
Treat yourself.
Yeah. Which I actually treated myself to something really nice recently. I bought myself a diffuser. Which is like it's like a little volcano shaped. It looks kind of like a Hershey's Kiss, I guess, that blows out smoke.
It does. I'm looking at it.
Yeah, it's really cute. It sits in my bedroom.
Does it stop fights?
Yeah, basically
between you and your boyfriend.
I just press the button and it punches him in the face.
She's like, "Hey, you guys are great."
Yeah. Hey, calm down. It's all gonna be okay. It's great. It's like a diffuser and humidifier, so like it shoots like little. I was going to say airlets. That's not a word. It's
like
airlets. You fill it up with a little water. So it's like constantly steam's coming out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it keeps everything moist, which is great for your skin and probably some other shit, but who knows. And then you can actually put like drops of essential oils in it.
Uh-huh.
So you just everything smells better. Your just life smells better.
It
you
does smell
better
in your bedroom.
It does.
Yeah. Thank you. It's at lavender today.
Oh.
We have different scents and then also it lights up. So my boyfriend's really fucking cute because like he'll put the lavender in there and then change the light color to purple because he's a fucking adorable.
Oh,
yeah. So we'll have the scent.
Get you a man who can do both.
Yeah. The scent and the light
color coordinate
match. And know, that turns me on. Diffuser. The first time he did that, I was like, take your fucking pants off. Holy shit. Did you just put that on purple strategically? My God. Yeah. Oh, that was like the hottest thing.
Who knows what color lavender is?
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah. That was like the hot. And it was his idea. I didn't coerce him or anything. He did it all himself. Anyway, it's really wonderful. It changed my life.
We're all really just lesbians at heart. We really just want a woman with
a dick. Yeah. Yeah, we really do. We really do. That. I mean, it's great. And I just walk in my room and I feel like I'm in a spa.
It is very
even though it's definitely not
there.
But yeah, it's like feels great, so I recommend anybody who's looking for. I think it was like $30.
That's not
it's
bad.
Yeah, it's
that's
great
amazing, yeah.
And it's yeah you, there's different settings, different lights, so that's how I treated myself and I do not regret that purchase one bit. And my minimalist self was like, should I do it? Will it bring me a lot of joy? And I'm like, yeah, it's brought me a lot of joy so far.
Yeah,
it was worth it.
You know what's so funny, I'm realizing that anytime Kane does anything that's like slightly effeminate, it turns me on so much and it turns me into the man. Like if I come home and he's cleaned, I'm like, get over here.
Yeah, it's great.
I want to suck your dick.
Yeah.
Like, it makes me
let me suck it
sexually because I'm so turned on.
Drunk her voice. Oh, it's so good.
It is weird. It is weird. Yeah. Like when they do something, I've never thought of
Did
it
you
that
do
way.
The dishes? Oh, fuck it.
Yeah. Yeah, it really, it's true. It's a weird role reversal.
Is it just because it makes us feel safe and taken care of and that makes us feel happy? Like what is that
I think
stem
there's this
from?
Is it feminine to clean?
Well, according to all the stereotypes,
the stereotypically,
50s and shit like that, where it's like women stay home and clean and cook, and men go out and work and make the money,
right?
And so it's supposed to be, I don't know, like that response. Yeah, that really responsibility. That. I think it's slowly getting better, but most men are, you know, I think that they're not supposed to, or that it's not on them. And when Kane does that shit, I'm like, boy,
yeah, it is hot. Please, oh my god, you're acting like my mother. Drop your pants.
Oh my god, yeah. You're scooping the cat litter. I will eat your ass.
Yeah,
amazing.
Oh, it is, man. Weird. I never thought
you guys
of it that way.
Have some weird stuff.
Oh man,
we all have weird turn-ons, but that is
it's amazing.
I feel like my weirdest turn-on is like, it's not even weird. It's just like guys who drive with one arm.
One hand on the wheel.
Like, Malibu Barbie.
Yeah, when they don't have elbows.
Yeah.
When guys like back up in a car and they put their hand on the passenger seat and turn around.
Hot.
And then they use the one hand to okay. I gotta stop.
Yeah.
I wonder where that comes from.
That is
probably my dad or something creepy.
Probably. But you know, it's
not examined.
It's like they're coordinated. I'm sure it like stems from something super like basic and inhuman kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And maybe like you're attracted to your dad way, just in like a, oh, your dad did that growing up. And that's like the only,
it's like a man
example
thing.
Of a dad you, a man you had.
Right.
When a dude's a good driver, it's very sexy.
Yeah.
Not again to go with like stereotypes and shit, because I'm like going the reverse way, but like I honestly, I'm not a great driver sometimes. Like I hit shit pretty easily.
I think we know how you
lot of it.
Is that how you totaled your car, Taylor?
I think that's very sexy. When women can't drive. Ooh, stay in your lane or don't.
Oh man,
I'm not great. And so when he does like a parallel park in one move, I'm like,
fuck yeah.
Ooh.
Kit in one move.
God damn.
That's
I think like it is that. Good. Yeah. Like
send us your weird turn ons.
Yeah.
Oh, please.
podcast@gmail.com. No dick pics, please.
This is probably a good segue into the fuck?
That's my favorite part.
That's my favorite segment.
Is just to say that.
Which is, if you don't know what this means, it's just basically somebody has given us
advice
or something.
Terrible advice. Terrible
mostly advice. Not great advice.
Yeah. Sometimes it's with malicious intent. Sometimes it's with
they're
total
just
innocence.
dumbs, you know?
Yeah. We were talking before we started recording about how our business in stand-up comedy is a very specific, weird business that there is not a...
very unregulated.
There's not a set pathway to get from starting comedy to success.
Much like dealing drugs.
It's a very Breaking Bad situation.
But we are successful despite that.
Mm-hmm.
With the drugs.
With the drugs. Let's be clear. It's not like nursing. It's not like you go to this school and then you go to that school and you get that degree and then you got that job. It's very different. And a lot of people don't realize that, or they forget it. And bless my mom's heart, she is kind of the queen of suggesting things to me that are so deeply unreasonable.
Yeah.
That they're almost insulting. But I know she's not trying to be, but it's just so like, oh God. My mom's always been very kind of like pageant mom-ish, where she just looks at her kids like, you can be stars, like kind of JonBenet Ramsey'd me a little bit, you know.
She murdered
like,
you?
Not yet.
Just very like would submit my brother and I for like the Sears children's modeling catalogs.
Gross.
Like,
I mean, she believes in you, but
absolutely. I mean, it didn't. I really don't think I'm a monster, so like that's good. I had enough, you know.
No, you're a monster, Kelsey.
I had enough.
You're horrific.
You're a terrible person.
The real monsters don't think they are.
Yeah. I went through enough acne and like chubby cheeks and shit to like I was brought down enough.
Oh, good. Okay. Good.
I had, you know, I had the right amount of self-esteem.
Fantastic.
Anyway, and so she's just kind of has that attitude with stand-up where she told me. Not that long ago, I was going back to New York and she was like, when you're there, why don't you reach out to Jerry Seinfeld and do Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee?
Oh my God.
Just reach out to him.
Kelsey, why the fuck haven't you done that?
I'm an idiot.
You're so dumb. It's sitting
right
there.
Kelsey, really, Kelsey? You were in New York,
this
for fuck's sake.
This whole time, I could have just called up Jer Bear.
God.
My Jer BFF. Bear.
Oh my God. Fucking said, text him.
Yeah.
Don't even have to call him. Text.
Why haven't I been on yet? Why wasn't I episode one?
Yeah.
Pilot. Yeah.
Oh, it's precious.
And so
you had Kramer on before me?
How dare you, Jerry?
Yeah.
So I have to explain. And again, it's like, it's so hard to even explain to her.
Yeah.
Because if she's at a place where she thinks that that is a reality.
Right.
It's like, where do I even start?
Right.
To be like, Mom, that is not even in the realm of possibilities. Like,
yeah,
that's not something that happens like that. I'm not famous. He doesn't know me. No one cares about me.
We do.
Kelsey, I care about you. I'm going to hold your hand right now.
Thank you.
But Jerry's listening right now and he's going to have you on in like 3 days. Kelsey?
That would be magic.
Yeah.
Have your parents said stuff like that?
Oh, all the time. Honestly, I have to, over the course of the last like 5.5 years I've been doing it, I have told them enough times so now they don't say shit like that. But my other family, I haven't talked to in depth. So one of my favorite things is that one of my cousins at some awful birthday party came up and she was like, why don't you just get in an Adam Sandler movie? Same kind of thing. Why don't you just, just be in an Adam Sandler movie and I think that solves all your problems. I'm like, oh my fucking God, Gina, you know? Shit.
My God, Gina.
Shit.
I think you've got it.
Yeah. And that was just like, oh wow, like these people really don't know what the fuck I do with my time or how shit works. And that's fine. I don't know how to become like a physicist, but I'd imagine there's some schooling and there's this and this. I don't know.
Just get a microscope.
Yeah, like just I don't
plant
just walk
a
in.
Money tree.
Right.
Yeah, you need $1 million, plant a money tree.
Money tree.
Put a penny in the ground and all your problems are gone.
My favorite thing that audience members say, and I'm sure you guys have gotten
the greatest.
This, is
endless.
You should get a Netflix special.
Oh,
yeah.
I should.
Oh my God, can you call them?
There's no line at all. Yeah. Nobody else is waiting.
Right.
I will say, I mean, this is a fun. So when I was in high school and I started doing comedy at 16, my dad literally used to say to me, you should just email Brian Regan and ask if he needs an opener.
How
just email Brian
great
Regan.
Is that?
And I was like, Dad, it doesn't work that way.
Oh, wow. Look at
and
that.
As of about a year and a half ago, I have opened for Brian Regan a number of times.
That's amazing.
Because he just found me on YouTube and I told him on the tour bus one day, I was like, my dad used to tell me to email you. And he's like, oh, that's funny. And I was like, yeah, that probably wouldn't have worked. Huh?
Dude, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's the fucking
but
coolest.
It was sort of dangerous. When they asked me to open, I was like, I don't know if I can, because if I do, my dad might think that his advice worked and he'll continue to be like, email him. Yeah. It's fine.
Oh, is it God. Worth it to encourage my father?
Yeah, exactly. The audience members, that's what gets me. That when they come up and they're like, this one dude was like, hey, you should really put something about weed in there. You know, and I'm like,
something about
oh, you mean like I should talk about weed on stage? Yeah. Oh, what should I say about weed? Well, I don't know. Maybe you could tie it in with something else and, you know, make it really great. And it's like they don't offer it, but like, hey, he just throw it out there. Like, oh, let me just write 30 minutes on weed, even though I don't smoke it. And
no other job to people.
It's weird. Shit. Like
I
you just
audience members. So
it's
much. Even
we love
their advice is good. I had a
love
guy,
him, but hate him. But
I had a bartender at a show at a restaurant I did. And he came up to us and he's like, with this crowd, you know, you got to get up there and you got to get them in the first. First 30
shut
seconds.
Up.
Gotta make them laugh. And I was sitting with a friend of mine, and I just was like, oh, that's what we're supposed to do? In the first, that's really good advice. Man, Diego, did you realize that we should be doing that? And he was just like, don't do it. And I was like, and the bartender had no idea. He was just like, yeah. He's like, you just gotta get them. You gotta do a quick jokes, you know? Keep them interested. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna do that now.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do it. Before, I was gonna meander a little bit, do a little bit of a TED talk.
Yeah.
But you know what? Now I'm gonna get them real quick.
Get them, dude. It's like, many audience members are lovely, but yeah, there are just some that are just very clueless and like, it's not their fault a lot of the time. Sometimes it is. Because they're just assholes. But I would just never walk into a doctor's office and be like, hey, can I do this for the day? Or like, hey, you guys need anything?
Because
I
got some suggestions.
Yeah,
you should warm up your hands before you touch me.
Yeah.
That's actually a good suggestion.
That's a great suggestion.
Doctor.
It's like
listening.
A weird. I think just the entertainment industry in general is like people just, they'll hear that one story about one person like getting discovered on the street. And that's how they think all of it works.
Yeah.
You should walk more.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, they hear that one story of like, yeah, somebody saw me and put me in a movie and now I'm this way, but like that's not the norm, you know. There's a lot of shit to jump through
fact once someone gets discovered that way, it'll probably never happen again.
Now everybody's clamoring for that.
That's
happen.
A one in a million. But
anyway,
the advice.
Should we move on now to our main topic of discussion this episode, which is Therapy.
And we're talking about live therapy with a therapist.
With a
like
real person.
One-to-one.
Yeah.
Although you can do it online now. Has
can
anyone
you
tried
really?
The e-counseling? The
I
e-therapist?
Haven't.
Like a Skype sesh? With?
I think so, yeah. I've seen it. Facebook just puts ads up for it a lot on my feed. What are you trying to say, Facebook?
Okay. There is actually a program that does sponsorships for podcasts, so that would be
really?
A cool thing. Yeah.
Then I think it's a great idea.
Fantastic. Wouldn't it be
wonderful.
Rough if, like, I don't know, the Skype cut out on, like, when you're just bearing your soul, and then it's like a fucking frozen screen? Yeah.
But it is nice to talk to somebody in your own home, in the comfort of your own home.
That's true.
As an introvert, that sounds great to me.
Yeah.
Instead of going to somebody else's squishy couch.
Right.
Oh my gosh. And I had to, like, really thaw out in my, like, therapist's office for the first few weeks. I was like very stiff.
Yeah. So how long have you been doing the therapy stuff?
For 6 years.
Wow. Consistently?
Yeah. Like how?
Yeah.
Wow. That's great.
Like once a week, once every 2 weeks.
I was seeing a woman in Seattle after a horrible relationship that I needed help, like not going back to because, she like saved my life basically because, and that's being a little bit dramatic. He wasn't like putting my life in danger, but I would have probably spent my life with him. He had
he was putting your best life in danger.
Yes.
There we go.
The worst thing I've ever said. He had borderline personality disorder, and I didn't know until I went to this therapist. And so that knowledge changed everything for me because without it, I just kept thinking it was me. Which is, I think, also a very, like, easy thing for somebody with our personality type to do, just to kind of be like, oh.
Yeah.
Because I had never been with somebody with a personality disorder before, so I just assumed, like, oh, I just need to be more perfect. Mm-hmm. Like, I just need to not make him upset and, like, be better or whatever. So she was amazing, and she was actually an art therapist. Do you guys know about art therapists?
No. What did you like draw while you talk?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh shit, that's cool.
I love painting and drawing, and it's such a good, like, there's specific exercises for each thing. I remember one of them was like, I was talking about my parents' divorce and feeling like some strain with my dad. And she was like, so I want you to draw you on one side of the page and your dad on the other side of the page. And I want you to draw a bridge between you two and then a river flowing under that bridge. And she's like, on that bridge, I want you to write words that connect you two, like things that connect you. And then in the river, I want you to write words that separate you.
Holy shit. That's really interesting.
So interesting. And it's very helpful for visual learners to have a physical representation of just because so much of therapy is helping get that murky shit that's sitting in the bottom of your soul out. But sometimes even if you get it out and you say it, it's so easy to just walk out and forget about it and not actually process it.
Yeah.
So art therapy was so cool because I, like, when I left her, when we moved from Seattle to LA, I had like a folder.
That is cool.
Shit I left with of stuff that I can really feel like, oh, that actually healed that part of me or that helped me with.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
That. So art therapy is very cool. The woman I see in LA is not an art therapist, but I really, she's like a somatic therapist. She deals, is that what she's called? Where she deals with touch.
Oh,
I've
never heard of this.
I've never heard. I couldn't tell you. Should I?
Like, she touches you during the session?
No, she never touches me. But she does things where, like, if I start to, if I'm getting kind of like stressed about whatever I'm talking about, she'll go, okay, so I want you to like really, like I want you to close your eyes and I want you to like really get into that place. I want you to notice what you're doing with your hands right now.
Mm.
And it's kind of amazing.
Somatic therapy is a thing. I don't know if that's exactly what you're talking about.
I forget if that's the right word, but.
When I Googled it, it popped up Somatic Therapy Los Angeles. So probably.
Okay, yeah. Hmm. So it's the idea of that we can kind of compartmentalize our feelings into physical feelings in our body that are bad. Or like, what was I doing? I was talking about my allergies and my anxiety with my allergies. And I was actually like, I was holding one of my fingers really tightly and I didn't even realize that. And she's like, look at what you're doing with your hands.
Oh, wow.
And it was almost like I was like being my own parent or something.
Oh,
like I was like trying to like comfort myself. It's very interesting.
Oh, weird.
I really like her a lot and it's literally a $3 copay.
Oh
like,
my God.
It's amazing. It's amazing. She's awesome.
Wow.
So yeah, I've seen a couple therapists that I tried for like a few weeks and just wasn't a good fit.
Yeah.
So that's what's really hard about therapy. Like I'm a very open person and I'm an introvert, but I kind of obsessed with the self-help thing. Like I'm always trying to like improve myself and I like therapy for that. But that's really hard for some people, the thought of going and opening up to somebody and the possibility that they are not the right fit for you.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a very real possibility.
Yeah.
So what are your guys' experiences with therapy?
Taylor, go for it.
So my experiences with therapy, I have not been since high school, actually.
Okay.
But I've been meaning to get back into it. So my mom passed away when I was 8. And after my mom died, I got sent to a slew of therapists. I went to the school psychologist who was terrible. She did nothing. I mean, she might have been good for like younger kids. And I was like 8. But she just like had me. I actually found the folder of stuff I did with her recently in like my parents' boxes and things. Yeah. Going through what I need to do. And she's had me like color a picture that looked like me and my mom. She had me like write down like my favorite memory with my mom, like things like that, just worksheets. And I'm like, this isn't helping. Are you just trying to help me remember her? Like,
right.
I didn't really get anything out of it. My sister and I went to a group therapy session or whatever for a few weeks that hospice did. What I hated about that was we were in there with kids whose parents weren't dead.
Oh,
so we went in and like, hey, what up, everybody?
Oh,
our mom died of what your dad has right now.
Oh my God.
I was like, why wouldn't you separate us?
Make two sessions.
Make a
10 o'clock and a noon sesh.
Yeah.
Separate the kids.
Oh, it was so bad.
Oh, that's brutal.
All I remember about it is that at the end we had to like paint candles and then we all had a ceremony where we all stood at the front and we lit candles and then you could blow it out whenever you felt like you wanted to. And I do remember it was like I didn't blow it out for a really long time because it was supposed to be like letting go of your parent or whatever you were. I don't even know. So none of that was good. Then I went to a therapist I did really like. But we never really talked about my mom. Like she had me play with like, she was definitely a type of therapist because she had me like play in a sandbox with toys most of the days.
Okay.
Like she'd be like, just make up a story. And I remember like I would have animals and I think I made a lot of them die. And I think that was probably a good she's like, oh, this girl's going to be a comedian. So that's all I remember. I just remember it was like a really safe space. It was in like almost like a house. And then like she would do it upstairs, but there was like an office downstairs. And I just remember going there and feeling really safe, feeling very secure. It was someone outside of my family. I don't know. I remember that being really helpful. And then I didn't go again. That was in fourth grade. And I didn't go again until I was 16 or 17.
Okay.
And I went for about a year because in high school I got extremely depressed and to the point where I was like self-harming and like all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I was actually the one I went to my dad. I was like, I think I'm depressed. I think I need to go to therapy. And he was like, all right, dope. And then like we didn't do it for a little while. And then I just like had a meltdown and he was like, all right, we'll send you therapy.
Yeah.
And that therapist, I definitely understand needing to thaw out because I really felt like in the first few weeks, and she was like pretty matter of fact about stuff. She was like, yeah, she's like, you'll probably feel a little uncomfortable the first few weeks, but you know, eventually you'll you'll feel better and more comfortable when we can talk about some stuff. I do remember I asked her a lot of questions about how to become a therapist. Like I turned it on her a lot, which was strange.
Yeah.
And the only thing I remember about it really that was so helpful is I had a session where I like really went off to the point where I was like, I was angry about all this stuff that I didn't really know I was angry about. Just like with my parents and with school and like the high expectations of me and like being a perfectionist and like my dad getting remarried and all these things. And afterward she was like, yeah, you'll probably be a little embarrassed the next time you come in. Just like, you know,
it's amazing that she did that.
Wow. Which part of me was like, why would you say that? And then also part of me was like, oh, okay. Yeah. I probably was. Cause I just was like, I don't know. I was just word vomiting.
Yeah.
But she's like, it's fine. It's good. It's normal. All that stuff.
Huh.
And, yeah, she was good. I don't know if she was like exceptional. She explained to me that her training or, you know, whatever she had studied, cause I know there are different things you can do as far as therapy. There's a lot of different forms of it. You can practice. Hers was like, I make it so I'm just leading you to what you need to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm letting you lead the conversation. So like she let me ask her questions about her job and like let me kind of lead the conversation. She was never like, so let's talk about your parents. Let's talk about your mom. Like she never introduced anything. She let me bring up whatever I wanted to bring up. So yeah, ultimately I feel like it was really helpful. And also I started doing stand-up during that time in that year. So part of me is like, was the therapy the most helpful thing or was the stand-up
That's
the most
interesting.
Helpful thing?
Yeah. Did the therapy come first or the stand-up come
the
first?
The therapy came first.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's been my experience with it. And I do want to get back into it because I do feel like it's helpful, the talk therapy thing.
Yeah.
Just having someone outside of yourself. Because sometimes, especially with how anxious I am, and I think we all are, you just need someone to be like, you're nuts. Like you're crazy. This was the thing I got out of it most. I would go through. So I was very scared. Wow. I just remembered this. I was always really scared of getting carjacked on road trips. I was afraid of everything, but like, I was afraid of my house burning down if I fell asleep, which is why I had insomnia. And I was, afraid everybody was talking about me anytime I heard someone laughing.
Well, it's like some paranoia.
Yeah.
Stuff,
there was a lot.
Right?
I thought if I picked a certain fork out of the dishwasher first, my family would die, like that kind of stuff.
Oh wow, that's like
OCD.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
Interesting.
That's funny that you and I were at the same age with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're talking about 16?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. So I told her all that stuff, and she had me like go through scenarios where she's like, "All right, so you're at a gas station, someone gets in the car, you know, pushes your dad out, gets in the car, takes you and your sisters. What can you do?" I'm like, I don't know. I'm in a car. Somebody. And she's like, all right. So you can, when you get to a stop sign, you can jump out. I'm like, then I'm leaving my sisters. Like, you can get as many people out as you want, as possible. When you should get out, you can take a picture of the license plate, all this stuff. Like basically took me through kind of, we talked about this on a previous episode. Delaney said something about like thinking about the worst case scenario and how you would deal with it.
Right.
And that's kind of what she taught me how to do, which is sometimes exhausting, but also really helps.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, if your house caught on fire, you could probably get out in time, wake everybody up, call 911, all this stuff. So just going through the scenario so you feel prepared.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to just tell an anxious person like, that's
Stop.
Not going to happen.
Yeah.
Because it could.
Oh,
right.
You know what I mean?
It's the most infuriating thing.
The most infuriating
thing.
And
then just stop worrying.
The thing I think about all the time that she said is about being worried that people were talking about me. She's like, nobody is thinking about you. Literally nobody cares about you. I was like, what? She's like, everybody's worried about them.
Right.
Like what you're afraid of, everybody's thinking the same thing in their head. They think you're talking about them or you're laughing about them. She's like, nobody's thinking about you.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh. And it was so freeing.
That is great.
So those are the things I got out of that.
I love that kind of practical, like, all right, this happens. What do you do? I love that because that's what I do to myself.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
Logic is really, really potent.
Helpful.
In those situations.
Yeah.
I've been working on that in like the last week or two with my therapist about like getting out of that fight or flight sensation because then you actually cannot use logic.
Yeah.
Like if you are just so in like a panic, you know, panic attack, anxiety place, you're not able to reasonably go through the situation and be like, okay, no, just because like you had a weird interaction with this person doesn't mean that that person's going to tell that club booker and that you're never going to be booked to that club again.
Gosh, right.
Like weird shit where it just goes down that spiral until like you're never working ever.
Right.
Yeah. And you're going to die and everybody will hate
right.
you.
And there's so like, much of that in comedy where you're like, this person looked at me weird. And it's like, yeah, because they feel weird.
Yeah.
They're scared of everyone
we all
too.
Feel weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Delaney?
So I went to therapy first when I was 15 because my mom put me in there because I had to withdraw withdraw from high school, which we talked about a little bit last episode, because I got really sick with all kinds of digestive problems and all kinds of weird stuff. I couldn't sit through class without like wanting to throw up and all that. So I pulled out of school and I did an independent study program. So I was basically homeschooled, but it wasn't like my parents taught me at school. It was like I just did everything on my own. So it was all like online type of stuff. And my mom was just super worried about me having like an unconventional upbringing. And she was like, you need to get in therapy and talk about this shit. But I felt fine. Like I was like, look, it really sucks. I really tried hard to get into that school. It was actually, I dropped out of Notre Dame High School in Sherman Oaks, which was like, you know, a prestigious high school. I worked my ass off to get into it. You had to go through all the interview processes and all that stuff. And then I, you know, it was devastating when I had to leave, but I was okay. But she wanted me to get in there. So I just remember I was sitting in this woman's office, and maybe she was like mid-30s, red hair, and that's like all I remember. And she just sat and stared at me until I said the first word.
Oh my God.
And that
that's
was
like
my
power move.
That was my first experience. And I was just like, we just kind of looked, and I was so uncomfortable because I didn't know what therapy really was. I don't know what to do. And I just was like, eventually, after a few minutes of awkward, you know, glances and shit, it was just like, so how is your day going? And that was just kind of it. And she, you know, there was not a whole lot of her leading the conversation. She like wanted me to talk about stuff. And I was like, look, I just don't really know how this works. I feel much more comfortable talking to my about my problems to somebody I know personally. Like I just wasn't comfortable with a stranger yet. And so I kept telling my mom, like, mom, like this is really not helping me. And she's like, no, yeah, I want you to keep going. It's good. Blah, blah, blah. And like once I got involved in like other activities that made me feel normal, I was much happier. So like I joined an art class. I got really into painting and sketching and all that kind of cool stuff. I got my first like part-time job at the Boys and Girls Club. So I was around people my age and I was making money. I ended up saving money for college and all that. So like I started doing like normal type of activities, and that made me feel like less of a creepy hermit person. Although I did like dissect crustaceans in my living room and shit because I had to take science class. And then that, like, I just felt, I felt fine. I was like, look, I just don't, I didn't, wasn't getting anything out of it. And so I remember my mom called this lady and said, hey, she doesn't want to do it anymore. Thanks so much. And she called back saying, no, I need to hear this from Delaney, like personally. And this is me at like 15 and a half, 16. And so I had to call her and said, basically tell her why I didn't want to see her anymore, which I thought was like, she didn't want to hear from my mom about it. She and she was like, why, you know?
Did
and
she
I'm
make
like,
you answer a security question to prove it was you?
Exactly. Passcode.
Or said, wasn't your mom just like, this is Delaney, I would keep coming.
And so I was just like, yeah, I just don't see the point. No offense. You know, I was just it's, it might be great for people. I feel fine. You know, I have friends. I'm getting my homework done.
Yeah.
It's a little bit weird not being in a school every day, but I'm just doing the same type of stuff, so you know, good luck to you.
Good luck.
And that was my first experience. That was my first experience.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
My second experience happened, so that was when I was like 15, and then I got into therapy again when I was like 24, 25. And again, my mom's idea, which, you know, love her. And it was fine. I met with this guy. He was very sweet and fine. But like, I just, I think it's like finding the right fit, you know?
Yeah.
Really nice person, but like I just wouldn't open up about certain things. Like yeah. I'm very open. I'd much rather talk to you guys about this my shit than this dude. And so I was like, I don't want to cry in front of this person or do anything in front of this person. Yep. And I need to feel more comfortable if I'm going to do this therapy thing. So I just think I didn't find the right fit with anybody. And my mom wanted me to go to therapy because she was worried about like my dating patterns. Just because I would date somebody for a few weeks and then end it and then move on to the next. And I just kept telling her like, Mom, I just think it's a little bit different these days than when you were dating back then, you know? And like, I'm fine. Like she was just worried, like Delaney, you know, you're sleeping with a lot of people and like you're this and you're that. And I'm like, but Mom, I'm not doing anything I don't want to do.
Yeah.
And like when I'm done with somebody, and that sounds terrible, but like
crumpled them up.
Finished with him.
I eat him like a fucking spider. Yeah. No, but it's like if I feel like, you know what, I don't want to see this person anymore just because I don't see the point. I'm not going to end up with them or like, not into them anymore. Yeah. I just tell them. I'm just very open and honest and I move on. Hey, best of luck.
You should check with those guys, see if they need. Because I'm out here breaking hearts and taking
names. And a lot of business coming your way.
And my fair share of ghosting towards me happened. You know, all that kind of stuff. Dating in LA fucking sucks. It's not news. So she was just kind of worried about like my personal like dating patterns, and she's like worried that she fucked me up with that somehow. Yeah. But then I just got there like, look. I just kind of date people and my mom's worried about that, I guess. And he was just like, well, what's going on? Like, how are you feeling? And I'm like, honestly, like if I date somebody for a week or two or whatever, and then it's over, like I just feel great that I dated them because most of the time they're pretty hot. And like, and I was just like, when I see someone like, I want to date that person. And I do it. It's like, it's more of like, I feel good and empowered. I don't feel like, sad and broken. And like,
you probably made the therapist feel worse. Oh. That made me feel a little bad. When I want to date someone, I just see them and I go, I want to date them. And then I like, do it.
And like, you know, date, bang, whatever. That's fine line. Yeah. But like, it was something where like, he's like, are you doing it because you're sad? I'm like, no, I just want to. He basically, after maybe 6 months of seeing me, was like, look, I think it's fine. Like what you're doing, you're taking care of yourself. You're safe. You're not coming from a place of like abandonment or whatever it is. It's just, you seem to have more, you know, masculine qualities versus, you know, like as far as all my patients, it seems like you have a lot of more of the masculine qualities, whatever. Right. I'm like, I've been told that quite a bit, but, it's like, so am I good? Basically, I was like, basically am I good to tell her like I'm good.
Yeah.
And he's like, as long as you're not like super depressed and sad and feel terrible after like going through people, you know? And I'm like, I just go.
I want to apologize to all of our male listeners.
I'm so sorry.
For Delaney's grotesque objectification of an entire gender.
Her single-serving, one-time like, use methods.
Exactly. But I just always
Delaney
like...
treats dudes like a yogurt bland. Let me try some of this.
Try a little of every flavor. Fall free. It's just, I always felt like I really believed I just hadn't met the right person yet. I didn't think it was because I was self-destructive or anything. I would just like, when I was like, this, we're not compatible, I'm going to leave now. I'm always been very logical that way. So I'm like, okay, well, there's no point. Yeah. And then when I met my boyfriend, I was like, oh my God, I was waiting for this person. Aww, you know what I mean? I was like, I wasn't crazy or like whatever. Yeah. I was just like, I just hadn't met them person yet.
Yeah.
And it's good, you know, that you did, because you don't have any like, oh, what if feeling. Like,
I don't at all. Yeah, I fucking did it.
You had all the 31 flavors of Baskin Robbins. Yeah. You tried everything. Yeah.
I dated whoever I want. Like, I'm so grateful that I had that phase in my life where I was just like, let's figure it out. Let's do it. Because now I feel like I know what else is out there. And I know I'm so much more confident in my decision being with him that I'm like, I'm good.
It wasn't a default.
Yeah. Like I feel really good about like, oh, I'm making like an educated decision. Yeah, and it goes like all of us, very type A. Like I like backing my decisions up with evidence and experience. Research. And I did a lot of research and I'm like, no, this is like great. totally. He checks off all my boxes. So I'm like, and my other box. Puns. Yeah. So that was, I basically stopped going to that guy because I'm like, look, I told my mom, I was like, Mom, I'm fine. I'm not getting anything out of this.
Yeah. So is your opinion of therapy like, meh, for some people that's great, but not for you? Or do you just think it wasn't
I think
the right
what
fit?
Kelsey said is finding the right fit has got to be the thing, yeah. right? Because yeah. I think it's great. Like, I know it's good for mental. I talked to him, this one guy, and yeah, he was like telling me about how the human brain works and how we're holding things on. And like, I thought that was fascinating, and I'm so glad I went just because now I kind of evaluate things that way. Mm-hmm. But I feel like finding a therapist is almost like finding a partner. Like, you have to like
date a little bit.
You have to date and
some attraction.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I have to have a connection or else like, what's the point?
Yeah. yeah.
That art therapy, I feel like I would, like that
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, look into art therapist if you like think that it would resonate. It's
I'm
really
a visual
cool.
thinker, yeah. learner. Yeah,
it's fun. It's nice.
But yeah, I'm not currently in it. But I would, you know, if the right person came along,
we should all go together.
We should. We should do a group therapy session.
Therapy session. Yeah.
Why are we all so well equipped to work together? Yeah. Why is this so magical?
Yeah. Why are we all broken in a magic way?
Yeah.
So why do we all want to be comedians?
Yeah.
No, seriously.
Even though we're so responsible.
I know. We are a weird combination of like fucked up to do this, but also like really
normal.
Responsible.
Like, yeah, not normal, but yeah, like we make pretty
it's weird.
Most people who do stand-up comedy don't care about like paying their bills on time. So it's really weird.
Yeah,
we're all so into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean, I always tell everyone to go to therapy because I think, you know, even though I haven't been in a while, I think it's so beneficial. Kelsey, I think you probably feel the same way.
Absolutely.
Having been the most consistent of the three of us.
Yeah,
right.
It's the best. I think, you know, people say it's like going to the gym for your mind and soul. And I agree. I think there's so much shit we're dealing with all the time, and it's nice to have an objective person whose job it is just to listen to you, you know, and like not have, like not feel like, I don't know if you feel this way with certain friends where you're like, I kind of want to talk to this person about it, but not really, because I already know that they're going to like not understand what I'm talking about, or they might make me feel weird, or
and they didn't
you know,
go to school for 8 years.
Yeah,
right. Yeah,
exactly.
Sometimes I want someone who knows what they're talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, in the stand-up comedy community, we get so zoomed in to this world of stand-up that we forget that what we do is very
weird.
Not normal. It's very difficult, and it's very comforting.
Right.
When I tell my therapist like the shit I went through that week, and have her go, "That's really hard."
Yeah,
just the simple recognition of like
confirmation.
Wow, what a crazy life you're living right now. Well, that's so much pressure to be in that position and to be traveling all this money or whatever. It's just it makes me actually feel more sane.
Yeah,
to be like, oh, so the reason I feel this way is because what I'm doing is an intense
insane.
Thing.
Yeah,
it's intense. It's insane. So yeah, I really find it helpful for that reason because sometimes I forget.
Wow. Well, speaking of objective third party advice, I think we have another question this week.
Do.
Oh,
from Alyssa, we got another email.
Do.
Delaney.
One of our lovely listeners emailed selfhelplesspodcast@gmail.com. You can too. And this one is from Jacob. And he said, I just got a job offer from a great tech company, which would double my income, but would increase my work hours from 40 hours per week to 60 hours per week. And my passion is writing comedy. I want to be a writer for late nights, and I know this job would give me less time to work on that. Should I stay at my decent paying job, or should I take this?
Ooh.
That's a
really hard question.
That is tough.
I'm always inclined to tell people to follow their
you got to do what it makes you happy.
YOLO.
I mean,
in a real millennial sense, fucking YOLO.
Yeah, like
you only get this once. So
even if bills are tight, like you're still doing something that makes you happy every day, you know.
This is hard because he said he wants to be a comedy writer.
Right.
And I don't know as much about that. I know about stand up, and I don't know how realistic or I feel like being a comedy writer might be harder.
I know. It seems like there's such a finite number of jobs.
Man.
Yeah.
Whereas stand up is kind of like, well, yeah, get out there and do it.
Yeah. Because right. I tend to, but he's not asking, should I quit my day job? He's just saying, should I take this other?
Should I take a job that's probably going to give him way less free time to work on his passion?
Okay,
so it's like after a 60-hour work week, you don't want to come home and write jokes and, and write, put packets together and submit to things. You're tired. But that money could maybe go to taking classes and getting better at it, or like it all depends on like what kind of
here's what I always tell people, because people have asked me like, should I drop out of school, should I do stand up, or should I, you know, quit my day job? And you know, obviously you should probably ask more qualified people, because I'm 23 but I have been fortunate enough to do this full-time for a few years, and it's I always tell people, when I quit my day job, it was because I literally couldn't do my day job anymore.
Yeah,
I had too much work to continue to do my day job. I think quitting before that is a little premature, because I do think that having money is a good thing. Because my example is, so the reason I quit my job is because I did NACA, which is basically conferences where you get college work, and colleges pay performers very well.
Yep.
So I booked a bunch of college shows off of that. But in order to submit to those conferences, you have to pay a fee. You have to pay like $90 per conference, and then you have to get yourself there, all this stuff. So I had been working almost full time and going to school and saving a lot of money for school. So it was all college money. I was then able to use that money that I was saving to apply to these conferences, which then got me the work that enabled me to go full time doing stand up. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to tell somebody, like, you know, just kind of get by while you're working on your dreams, but like give yourself as much time for your dream as possible. Because, you know, having extra money is obviously, if you have no free time, that's not going to give way to your dreams at all. That's not going to give you time to explore it. But having extra money to, like, you know, I don't know, buy Final Draft or something, or like get, like Delaney said, classes, like that's all stuff to think about too. And I think if you're prepared for opportunities that you don't even know that you're going to get yet.
Yeah.
I think that's also something to consider. So I don't know what I would say to that. I think I'd probably lean towards not taking the job since you're already making a living.
Right. Yeah. If you're getting by, okay, I would just say maybe start, you know, trying to save up where you can and channeling that money into something that's going to further your passion in writing.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's really no wrong answer with that.
Yeah.
I've done both. I've had the full-time job and the, you know, random gigs and stuff. And I would say, with where I am right now, I feel really good about the full-time job I have, because I can put my money into my passion in certain ways. So, you know, traveling more, like anything that we need podcast equipment, I'm not worried about, or like any kind of that. So, but you have to kind of stay focused in a lot of ways with that. So, I don't know.
I think this would be a very different question if he was like, I'm homeless right now. I've been like writing, but I just got a job offer. What do you guys think? Like, you need a job.
Yeah, get the job. Get the job.
He has a job. And I think just the simple fact that he actually asked this question, like took time, like he's so conflicted about it.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty clear that he needs to not take it, because if he was somebody that money meant that much more to him, he wouldn't have even questioned it. He just would have been like, yeah, I want that. And you know what I mean? But you can tell he's struggling with it. So I think because of that, he would regret it if he took that 60-hour a week job.
Yeah. I think balance.
Yeah.
Balance to everything. I could not work 60 hours a week myself, and then on top of it, do the creative stuff. I couldn't do it. So
I can work 7. That's what I do.
That's about right.
All right. Well, we're gonna do our hashtag goals to wrap this episode up.
Oh yeah. Who wants to start with the goals? What are you working on, Taylor? Looks like something's about to come out of your mouth.
Something brewing.
Speaking of comedy writing, I need to be better about setting aside like a few hours a day to work on writing material. Like, not just like going to a coffee shop for an hour. That's not cutting it anymore. This is my full-time job. I have a lot of free time during the day.
Yeah.
As much as I'm like, oh, I'm so busy. and sometimes it's true. You are, and you're traveling every day. But for the most part, I can find a couple hours in the day to sit down and write. And even if it's garbage, giving myself permission for it to be bad, as we like to say,
hashtag the artist way.
Yeah, because I just need to get over this. Like, I don't have any ideas and sitting down makes me feel like a failure. And once I'm done at an hour, I just need to like force myself to do it like it's a day job because it is.
Yes.
So that's my hashtag goal this week is to write consistently every day.
That's a great goal.
Your goals are always basically my goals.
I know. Look at this.
Can I just like hop on to your goal?
You guys are so connected. With our goals. Yeah. So synergized.
There's a great quote in The Artist Way that's this woman. It's like one of the little on the side of the page quotes.
Oh, the little blips.
Yeah, the little nuggets.
Yeah, the little Cheetos.
That it's like somehow like we end up doing everything in our lives before being creative, and then we like give ourselves like pats on the back for like doing the laundry and like blah blah blah, and she's like, I'm not sure we deserve such big gold stars for that. The idea that we always put what our like actual inner voice of like what needs to be created, we just like kind of suffocate that all day to get other shit done first, when it's like it should be reversed. Like, you should like cut out that hour of time to sit down and write what needs to be written and then do the other business you got to do for the day,
right?
You know, if you're in a position to do so. Sometimes I know that's not, again, this is coming from people who don't have kids. I know that it's very different when you have more like obligations in your life, but yeah, that's honestly, again, it's so, that's kind of what I was going to say too, that I'm finding myself like waiting until like I come home from a show and it's like 11 at night. I'm like, well, I'm going to feel guilty if I fall asleep and haven't actually sat down to write. So I need to just do it earlier in the day and make it a priority. So
yeah,
same goal as you, boo.
Dude, mine would be a writing goal too this week. I am putting a couple of writing packets together. And I'm super critical of everything that I'm writing, as we are. Uh-huh. And my goal is to just try to like shut that off in my brain and just like barf on the paper and then look back at it and kind of polish everything. Cause I'm I have to crank out a bunch of material and stuff. And I'm like critical before it even gets on the paper, you know? Yes. And it's, I don't want it to prevent me from actually completing this shit. Yeah. So I'm just trying to like, you know what, let me just write a fucking 60 terrible jokes for that one good one. And let me just pour it out of me, go back, read it, and then go from there. So
maybe just tell yourself, like, write a bad joke.
Yeah. Let me just write the shittiest thing.
Intentionally
I love
write
that.
A bad joke.
Yeah.
And you're like actually fulfilling your goal.
Right.
you're not disappointing.
So, yeah. So creepy. Oh my God. That just reminded me of something I have to talk about because it's about therapy. Is that because we're very, you know, type A, I like lists and all that kind of shit, right? We could do a whole thing on lists. But that one therapist guy would tell me, like, you know, please go home and like just for 10 minutes a day, just do nothing, sit and just, you know, whatever, and just try to relax. And he saw me grab my phone to write it down. And he's like, what are you doing? I was like, well, I got to put it on my to-do list. He's like, oh, shit. I was like,
he's so funny,
I don't want this to be a thing that you want to just check off of your calendar.
Do nothing for 10
minutes. He's like, I'm going to need to. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to need to know. I'm going to have to figure out something else for you. Uh-huh. Because my problem was like, I have to be on the go all the time.
You're a robot. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just
relaxation
like, boom, boom, boom.
Activated.
No, I could not. A couple years ago, I could not relax. Boom, boom, boom. And that just reminded me like, oh my God, his homework, I was just going to like put on my to-do list.
Yeah,
so
that's so funny.
Knock that shit off.
Yeah,
we're a mess, but hey,
that's the point of this podcast.
Yeah, helping each other out,
helping each other out. If you guys are a mess, or you have any hashtag goals or questions or ideas for segments or really anything, suggestions for what we should read or watch or listen to, you can email us at selfhelplesspodcast@gmail.com. That's all one word, no hyphen, no space, obviously. And you can find us online at our respective websites. I am at ttomcomedy.com, at ttomcomedy on Instagram, and at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter. Kelsey?
I'm at Kelsey Cook on Twitter, at Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, and kelseycook.com is my website where you can go see tour dates and videos and stuff.
Wonderful. At Delaney Fisher across the board on socials, and DelaneyFisher.com I also have some dick mugs on there, so enjoy that.
Oh, check that out on Etsy.
We'll go into that another time.
Yeah, under our merch. Please subscribe to the Self Helpless podcast on iTunes. Give it a 5-star rating and leave a sweet little review. Takes no time at all, and it helps us out so much. And we will talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.